came and they called me in 1974 or something like that. And I had never done a funeral before in my life. And I didn't, my family tried to protect me from funerals. And I hadn't, the only funeral I ever went to was when I went by and saw my granddaddy's body in a coffin in our dining room. And I didn't understand anything. So when I went over there, it was quite a shock for me. I had never done a funeral. The hardest funeral I ever had to do wasn't that one. I've told you about it enough. You all know about it enough. When I first came up here, not too long after I was up here, Jeannie Kreitz, she's a member of the church. Jeannie Kreitz had a baby, and it died almost immediately after it was born. And I had to do the funeral, of course. And I had never done a funeral for a baby. So I did the very best I could, tried to comfort them, and it seemed to please them. And, of course, I used David saying that he could not go to his child that had died after he had prayed and been in great agony over it. But David said he could go to his child. He could go to him. So I have since preached several baby funerals. I've done a lot of research on it. And there's one question about it I cannot answer, no matter how hard I try. And I'll just be honest with you. Answer it. I'll tell you what it is as I go through here. But I do know the Bible is very specific on this, and the Bible is the only perfectly logical book in the world. It's perfect in logic in every way. And when I don't understand it, I just say, okay, I'm going to tell you I don't understand this, but I don't have anything bad to say or frighten anybody. Okay, a child is not accountable for sin. God wills to all humans an inheritance. That's a fact. God became a sinless man and claimed it all in the Son office of the Lord Jesus. So all childbirths, they are born to an inheritance. And God became a sinless human and claimed it all the inheritance, for he has it all. But all who refuse the Son go to hell. So there is no way under heaven I could ever imagine, not even imagine, but I could never say that babies don't go to heaven. Now, all believing in his Christ for salvation are saved eternally to be heaven bound. A question all believers should address prior to coming before a Jesus judgment. Amount of a heaven inheritance reward. The question I have never been able to answer. I doubt if I ever will. How much inheritance do they receive? It's all tied in with what size, what type of a glorified body will they receive. I can work on that. But what type of an inheritance will they get? And it would be easy for me to say and comfort people and say, the full inheritance. But I was taught when I grew up by those old hill preachers, most of them came from behind the plow, but some of them went to school, religious schools. But they said, Tom, just don't worry about it. If you don't know what it is, maybe one day you'll know. But don't preach something that you can't be sure of. I know they go to heaven. I know they're beloved of God. I know they get a glorified body. I know they get something, but I don't know. You say, how'd you ever figure out the answer? I finally figured it out. Jesus decides. Jesus decides. And so that's what my answer is. Jesus decides, because I don't know. But I do know that if I'm evil in the flesh, and he loves little babies, and if I'm solid and good in the spirit, my spirit loves little babies. So my goodness gracious, God must love them a whole lot more than I do. And so Jesus will decide what they'll get in heaven, but they do go to heaven. And they're up there right now. And I suspect they know who their mother was, who their father was. I suspect they know all that. But do not worry about it, because they're up there. And when you see them, you'll know who they are. You say, what if they're full grown? Don't worry. By then, you'll be able to understand and see a lot of people up there. And you'll be glad they're already grown, because you'll remember the ones you had that you raised. And you'll remember all the problems you had. So they'll be full grown, and the Lord will have taught them what they need to know. Well, a question all believers should address prior to coming for Jesus' judgment. Amount of heaven inheritance reward will I receive if I do not try to manifest him by trying to present him daily? Well, I'm going to preach another message on that. And I'm going to tie it back to some scriptures and events and things that I think are very interesting. And so I will continue on that. What is the amount of inheritance reward will I receive when I try to manifest him by trying to present him daily, since he raises me continuously till death? Now, one thing I have learned. You're going to get something based on Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Don't do that. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Don't do it. Okay? Would it be better to serve him continuously without any break from the day you were saved until the day you died? Yes. Absolutely. You say, how much of the inheritance you think you'd get? Well, I think you'd get a bunch. Would you rather have a bunch than to have a kind of a little sarong on? Nah, I'm exaggerating on that. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus raises me continuous till death. Now, what about people like Demas? I got the impression that Demas just run off and quit. Q-U-I-T-E. And I got somebody that I can nail him to in the Bible with a tack. And I'll do that Sunday morning. A believer's submission to his will shall determine inheritance amount received. Go back in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Look at everyone there. All the prophets that is met, the prophets, David, they're all there. Look at all of them. The one thing you can say about them is this. They could not have continued in the faith in that era of time if they were not in it. What do all of them have in common? They got saved. They were saved. And in between that time and the time they died, some of them were off again, on again, gone again, fin again. And Mark went back to Antioch. So what did they all have in common? They all finished faithful. All of them, every one of them. They made a lot of mistakes in their life. You made a lot of mistakes in your life, and so did I. We got a lot of people on the church roll here that have made a lot of mistakes. And they started off good, but they finished up bad. Now, whether you finish up bad or good or not, I think carries a heavy weight with the Lord. And a lot of people come back into the faith. And I think that puts a pretty heavy weight on how the Lord looks at the person, because they returned. And I think that's what I'm going to emphasize in a lot of my preaching from now until I die, or until we have what is known as the beginning of the last 1,335 days. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. Not willing, and that means not willing. It's not God's will that anybody would go to hell. A person determines that for himself or herself. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is no way
a baby can repent. There is no way that a baby can turn to God and put his faith in Jesus Christ. But if you keep a child in church, he'll do what happened to me. You'll see a picture of him all with a little lamb. And sooner or later, God's going to use the picture planted in your mind by your teacher, your Sunday school teacher, and juniors are the worst age. And sooner or later, the Holy Spirit will use that. And it will be his word. The picture will be a manifestation of his word. And although Jesus probably doesn't look that handsome, but he will in heaven. He'll look a lot more handsome. And he'll glow like the sun. He says, not willing that any should come to repentance. So babies do not go to hell, period. And secondly, coming back after you've left the faith would seem to me, if it at the end you were doing it, that bears a great weight with the Lord. And so it's how you end up. And I'm going to tie this together, show you some examples in the Bible, Lord willing, on Sunday. Now, 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, a baby doesn't have any sin except that he inherited from Adam. And the blood of Christ covers that. We deceive ourselves. The baby's not capable of deceiving himself. He just wants milk. And the truth is not in us. A baby doesn't know what the truth is. You have to raise him and teach him the truth, even the carnal nature. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only unrighteousness that a baby has is what he inherited from Adam and Eve, and the blood of Christ completely covers that. You say, well, I worry about when my child is going to reach the age. Don't you trust God? Now, I'm sorry, don't get irritated with me. You don't know how many people have come to me and say, Johnny needs to be saved. And Johnny's just running around in diapers just about. And I try to explain to him, God will take care of that. Now, if he gets up about Kenneth's age and he isn't saved, Kenneth has just now become accountable for it. I used to go to a nursing home and to a children's colony, and I taught there every Sunday before our church started. And I taught all type of people, and a lot of them weren't even accountable. But many of those that were accountable were repented. They were able to. I don't worry about when they're going to reach repentance. I just preach the word, and I try to teach things that people that are old enough can understand. They used to say, well, I want those babies sitting out there, and they don't belong back there in a nursery. Well, I'm sorry. I wish to God they'd had one back there when I was young. I would have learned a whole lot more back there in that nursery than I ever did by all those beatings I got when I'd move my foot. Listen, I'm sorry, but I believe in nurseries, children's chapels and things like that. I believe whoever's back there ought to teach them the things that they're able to understand, and I'm all for preachers doing it. Because I think a preacher makes a good teacher for young people because he knows what they're capable of understanding and what he isn't. But look, I am old-fashioned. But along the way, I have changed my mind about some things after all these years here, and I believe I'm right. So you're just going to have to love it or lump it, because that's what I feel and believe. Now, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, I want you to notice this. Hebrews 11, 35 to 12, 13. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Now, this is Old Testament. Now, all these ended up good. Some of them during their life, they didn't do too good. And some of them departed from the faith for a little while. Hebrews 11, 35 to 12, 13. Now, I'll just read it, and then you decide. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. You ever been tortured? Not accepting deliverance. How do you think you'd make out? Well, I don't know how I'd make out. That they might obtain a better resurrection. There is such a thing as a better resurrection. And a better resurrection is something. You know, do you know that there is a better resurrection? Hey, buddy, did you know there's a better resurrection? You know what a better, here's what a better resurrection is. If you die, you get to go to heaven and see your grandparents. And looking at your grandmother sitting there, she's going to be up there before long. And your granddaddy is already up there. So, if she dies, you won't have to be sad. You'll just say, okay, grandma's gone to heaven, and I'll wait for her. You'll cry, and you'll miss her. And if I die, you'll miss me too. But you won't miss us too much, because you know that Jesus said you were going to heaven. And so they'll be up there waiting for you. That's good news, isn't it? That's why they call the gospel good news. Okay. That they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds and imprisonment. We've never been thrown in imprisonment yet. They were stoned, they were sewn asunder. Most scholars, I'm not a scholar, but most Bible scholars swear up and down that was Isaiah. I really haven't dug into it and investigated it, but they say Isaiah was cut in pieces when he died and scattered all over the Holy Land. If that's true, I don't know. But that's what that means, sewn asunder. I don't know if Isaiah was one of them, but have you ever been? No, you haven't been sewn asunder, I don't think, unless you've watched the Frankenstein movies. Were tempted. Man alive, they were tempted worse than you ever were. They didn't have the same type of a deal that you have. You have a better promise and a better covenant. Were slain with the sword. That sounds pretty horrible. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You know where they are? Their souls are in heaven. You know where their bodies are? Some of them have just vanished to dust. Some have been blown away by the wind. Anybody that can create a man out of clay can put it all back together without any problem at all. And they'll have a new glorified body. They haven't received the promise yet. Well, what do you think about my mother? About your mother? About Cecil? He hadn't gotten the promise yet, but he's going to get it, same time you do. God having provided some better thing for us. What is the better thing? My goodness gracious. Think of it. God came in the flesh. And he fulfilled the office of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit fell upon the first New Testament church at Pentecost and empowered and gave the church the authority to baptize. They already were baptizing. Jesus gave it to them while he was here. And also to observe all things what he had taught us. He's alive. You know, at Easter when we go, we say, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Yeah, I'll tell you what I say. He's in me. He's in me. He's in me. Now, what am I going to do with that? I'm going to heaven. That's already been decided. And I know a lot of babies that have gone on. I'll be looking forward to seeing. And I'm as curious as you are if they'll be full grown or not. But there's some things I don't expect God to tell me. I don't need to know. I just trust God. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now that perfect there is not, it doesn't mean mature. It means perfect. It means you got a new glorified body. It means you got a whole new countenance. It means you got a Savior that's right there where you can see him. It means you got a city. It means you've got your people before you that went on. It means you're together. It means you're united. And it means you'll never know what sin is again. And you'll just want to learn all you can from him from the rest of your life. And that's what the leaves are going out of the city. God's going to give you a job. You know the one thing you've still got that God gave you? You just can't be happy unless you're accomplishing something. in life. And people that are failures, the ones that try the hardest are the ones that are handicapped. And the ones that have good, healthy bodies, most of them are, some of them are lazy bums. So I don't care who wins. Well, I do care. It does not matter who wins the next election. Sure, I got somebody in mind, but I'm not supposed to guide you in politics. It doesn't matter who wins. Doesn't matter to me. Somebody I'm going to vote for. I'd like to win. But God sets up rulers and kings. And I don't care. If whoever wins the next election, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And I'm taking a chance on this, but I'm not at all worried about it. Before, in the last days, after the next administration, whether it's Republican or Democrat or independent or perverted, whatever it is, you're going to have it in office until the very last days of that administration. And I want to remind you that administration officially ends not after 4 years in December, but in February thereafter. So you just add 4 years on to the next administration starting in February, and you see if toward the last days of that Israel doesn't attack Syria. Wait and see. You say, well, you're setting a time. Yes, I am. But not a day, a week, a month, or a year. I'm telling you, in the last days, this is going to happen. Now, you may not want that. You may not like it. You may want to grow up and be a lover or whatever. But that's going to happen. And so I may run it in the ground, but I'm going to keep trying to warn people that are already saved. You need to serve God where you feel He's somewhat satisfied with you. I've never felt that. I've never been satisfied with how I served God. I'm not satisfied right now. But what can I do? I just go on, and when I sin, I ask for forgiveness and I go on. Now, okay. Now he says, through faith, and these all having obtained a faith, God having provided us, not the promise, God provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made holy, complete, no carnal nature, glorified body, soul, body, glorified, spirit, body, everything is. You're going to be the happiest thing you ever knew. You say, Lord, I wish I'd known all this before I came up here. No, you had to be. God wanted this done by faith. And you have to do it by faith. And you say, well, I don't know what to do. Follow God. And when you goof up, admit it to God. And ask Him to forgive you and pick you up and go again. 490 times, Kenneth, right? I wouldn't bother to keep counting. I think that was just an example. He says, God, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, anything that would stop us from serving God. You say, well, I'm going to resign my job. I'm not going to work anymore. And I'm just going to put on a sheet and go around town and knock on doors in the Jesus sheet and talk to them about all this. Let us lay aside every weight. Put Him first. Put Him first. You say, well, how do you do that? Don't say, I'm not going to do anything and God's going to take care of me. Paul didn't do that. I didn't do that, and I'm a terribly sinful man. Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. He knew the law was spiritual. I knew that too. But I'm not half of a tenth of what Paul was. But what was my weight? I had to feed my family. So I worked. I went to the seminary. I pastored this church, and I was able to do it by the power of God, by the strength of God. And so I kept trying to put God first. And sometimes, if you don't feed your family, you're a heathen according to the Bible. And so I worked to support my family, but I kept preaching and teaching the word no matter what happens. You say, well, what a good boy you are. You stuck in your thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. No, what a wonderful God I serve. He said, that wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what that is? You just lose interest. You just start going hit and miss. Lord of mercy, after all these years here in this church, I've seen people do it. I've seen people came here and they started off fine and they were all excited about Jesus, and all of a sudden, you know, bingo, everything changed. Somebody hurt their feelings. They got mad at somebody and they left. You say, is that normal? That is routine in missionary Baptist churches. One offense, one uncertainty, loss of temper, and they just quit. That's what happens. God doesn't want you to quit. And if you quit, come back. But sometimes pride keeps people from coming back. Immature Christians have so much pride that they rarely come back. But thank God for the ones who do. And Tommy Brown has helped me a lot on this with these things he's done on the weekend, because there were some things I did not know in the Hebrew language and the Greek language that he taught here. And I had heard it, but I really didn't understand it. And let us run with patience. Hypomene. It almost sounds like mayonnaise, doesn't it? Hypomene. Now, I've told you a million times what that means, but I'm not going to ask you because I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you, Ken. It means hypomene. Now, I love to embarrass you. You can take it. Hypomene. It means to raise a child. It means to raise a child like you change its diaper, you clean its bottom, you slap its hand when it does something it shouldn't do. Not hard, but a baby, you do that. You talk to it. You love it. You squeeze it and you hug it. When it cries, if you figure out it's just wanting some love, give it a little hugging. And if that doesn't work, give it some milk. That'll usually work. And you raise the child. And if you raise it properly, you don't have to spank it a whole lot. But if you don't raise it properly, that child's going to turn out to be a nightmare. Now, it involves raising a child, and it involves, if it needs correction, spank it. Depending on the age and your strength. My father didn't know how to spank. He liked to beat me to death. And it's just that way. Some people don't know how to spank. But he knew how, and I will say it did benefit me, even though I certainly didn't appreciate it. And sometimes my mom protected me as best she could. But moms can't do a whole lot in that area. They try, and sometimes they end up getting up, beat up themselves. I have no use for a man that beats a woman. None whatsoever. And if anybody comes to me and says, my husband's beating me all the time, I'll ask him to come in for counseling. And if he won't come in, I'll counsel her. And finally, I say, you go home and tell him you're going to leave him. First, I want to find out, does he need her or love her? She loved him. So she came to me and I said, go home and tell him you're going to divorce him. She did. And he started coming to counseling. He didn't love her. He needed her.
I know one preacher in our work that I'm kin to. I won't tell you his name, but he used to put his wife over his knee and spank her. I mean hard. I talked to him about it, and I said, that's not right. I knew him in school. I said, that's not right. I said, don't do that. And I knew his wife. She went around like a cow dog going down the road with his tail tucked between his legs. I never felt as sorry for anybody in my life. So don't always judge a person on the face he presents to you in church and how nice he is to you. See if he's trying to raise his children right. I honestly believe every person in this church is trying to raise their children right. I honestly believe that. And I'm telling you, I'm very proud of all of you and very thankful for all of you because you do that. And you're supposed to raise that child. And if you don't ever discipline it in any way, what the world's going to happen to that child when he grows up? You won't be able to handle him. Okay. He says, and the sin which do easily beset us, and let us run with the people many, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now I'm going to talk about what joy was set before him. I'm going to go into detail on exactly what that joy was. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He discovered it as a man. While he was here, he discovered it as a man. That was the joy that was set before him. And I'll talk about that Sunday, Lord willing. For consider him that endured such contradiction against sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. You got nothing to be weary and faint about in your own mind. You say, I lost a child. Don't worry about it. You're going to get to see the child. And you'll be, and that ought to give you joy and happiness. Great happiness. It ought to. But you see, that's a matter of anticipation of the promise of God. I can't do it for you. Don't want to do it for you. But I have great joy in seeing the children that I have done funerals for that never reached the age of accountability because I know I'm going to see them again in heaven. I know that's not the same as a mother that loses a child. When a mother loses a child, I'm not going to tell you how it feels. I can't, because I'm not a mother, and I've never lost a child. So I'm going to tell you, I do the best I can in that area. But I do tell you, you have got to raise your children a certain way. And if you don't do that, you're only hurting them, and later on you'll hurt yourselves. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Jesus resisted unto blood. Stephen resisted unto blood. There are a lot of people that resisted unto blood. It is possible. But God doesn't ask you. He'd say, come on, follow me, and then you can strive against sin until they kill you. He doesn't tell you that. He's got your future already planned. Your future is planned by God, and one that has to determine what is it that God wants me to do. Tell him you want to do it. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. You know what we are? One of the happiest times I ever had in my life was teaching retarded children. They're so loving. They're so kind. Don't get mad at me. Yeah, we're totally depraved. We're all retarded. Compared to God, we're all retarded. But there is hope. When God saves you, he starts paideoing you. He starts teaching you. And pretty soon you're not retarded anymore. You've learned a new way to look at life. You've learned a new way to look at yourself. You've learned a new way to look at God. And everything becomes real and genuine. I love retarded children. Whenever you bring your grandson, is it your grandson? Whenever you bring him down here, I don't care how much noise he makes. Because I know what it's like. I've taught them in a raging classroom. And sometimes you can come across something and they'll just sit there and they're amazed. I taught them off a Jesus board. One of those cloth boards you put over, you know, when you have figures and put on there. And I'd tell them little stories about the donkey and stuff on them. And I'd be telling them about Jesus all the way in between. Listen,
God loves retarded children. You say, well, why'd he let them be retarded? Sin in the lives of this of every generation since Adam. It's not the child's fault. It's not the parents' fault. It's mankind's fault. We wouldn't have all this mess if Adam hadn't sinned. But if I had been Adam, I would have sinned. And every one of you would have sinned. Now God redeems us. Don't worry about the retarded children. God's got a very special reward for them in heaven. And you may end up for working for one of them. You may end up working for one of them. Some of the happiest people. I knew one that was saved and baptized, and he looked like Frankenstein. Glory, mercy. He's the ugliest man I ever saw in my life. He looked just like Frankenstein. But he made a profession of faith, and you could see the change in his life, and he was happy as a lark. Anyway, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as to children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. There's that word again, the raising of the Lord. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why run away from him when you know you're wrong and he's bothering you? He's on me like a duck on a June bug. I've learned to repent quicker than I used to, because sometimes I didn't just get a spanking, a mental spanking or a bottom spanking. I got a scourging when thou art rebuked of him. You quit running away from him, you're going to get scourged. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, tries to raise, and scourgeth. If you need scourging, if you need a good licking, and I still think my father's lickings were too hard, but maybe they weren't, because I still remember them, and I never cheated on my wife. One of the few things in life that I didn't do, at least not in actuality. Every son whom he receiveth, if you endure chastening, God dealeth you as with sons. Man, he treats you like a son. Because if you endure it, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Why did I get all those spankings? They were raising me. They didn't want me to turn out to be a bum. They didn't want me to turn out and be lazy and shiftless. They didn't want any of that. They wanted me to grow up and be accountable. But if you be without chastisement, of whom all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. I'm not a bastard. Man, I know I'm not a bastard after what's happened to me. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh that corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Why'd they do it? For their own personal benefit. The father wanted it for his own personal benefit. You ever take your children somewhere and one of them's acting up and it embarrasses you in front of the other people that are there? And boy, that's when you really let them have it and show them that you're the boss. Show these people you're visiting. He says, is that your motive? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. It pleasures them. They get something out of it. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Every one of you sitting here has been a partaker of his holiness. When you got saved, you became a partaker of his holiness. And he lives inside you. And he tries to show you in his word. But how can he show you if you don't assemble together with a flock, with a local church, and have a man that preaches and teaches the truth? Have men, preachers that preach and teach the truth, some more harsh than others. But all of us have a different type of way of presenting stuff and have a different way of looking at things. So I'm always overjoyed when I have a lot of preachers, particularly if they're the caliber of the ones we have now. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Afterwards, however, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Well, here I am. Now, you'll have to admit, since I first came up here, God has exercised me. And it wasn't on a bicycle. It wasn't on some training wheels. God has actually raised me. And I've been exercised by God. And I love it. I want some more of it if I need it. But no, I don't want it if I don't need it. And make straight paths for your feet. That means follow Jesus. You want to know which way to go? Follow your feet. Follow Jesus. He says, I can't think of the verse. Well, that's not unusual. To follow Jesus will do just fine. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. You know how you get lame? You get off the path. You know what happens when you get off the path? It's not smooth. And you stumble over your own feet, your own fault, sprain your ankle. But let it rather be healed. What does that mean? Come back. Get back on the path where it's smooth. Where is that? In a church. You say, oh, that'll be fine. Then everything will be just great. No, you'll have valleys up and down, up and down, up and down. The church will be tried. You'll be tried. Everybody will be tried. You say, well, is God doing that? Listen, the devil has demons all over the place. And God doesn't need any help to test you. The devil tests you. And he says, but deliver us from the evil. And if you want to, put a one on the end of that. But deliver us from the evil one. Put on smooth ground. Your life may go up and down like this. May be horrible. All the funerals I've preached, you think I enjoy funerals? For one reason. People show up at funerals that never have heard the gospel, don't want to hear it, and resist it. You say, well, that's not your business. That is my business. And I do preach simple messages at funerals. And that's why they have me down there at the place. Oh, well. You know what? It's 25 after. Read that last part for yourself when you get home. I ain't gonna let them get out of here without 4 or 5 minutes.